First, a trigger warning. This episode contains an extensive discussion of sexual abuse and trauma. Listener discretion is advised.
May pang-apat pa.
Ano yung pang-apat?
Kasi pinaramdam nilang pangit kayo. Ang pang-apat dapat, maganda ako. I am beautiful. I am worth. I'm a sacred. My body is sacred and special, and I deserve to be loved.
Hi, and welcome to Middle Me, the podcast about Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. I'm your host, Anna P. Santos. In our last episode, I talked with my friend Ces Milliado about how different life events shaped her exploration of her sexuality. There was her annulment, where she had a sexual celebration of liberation. Then there was her race to do 40 before turning 40. But there was one other life event that shaped Ces's definition of pleasure and safety. Hi, Ces. Welcome back to Middle Me.
Hello, and my pleasure, what about pleasure, to be here and honored to be with you again. But now we're remote now. We were conversing in London for the first part of this conversation. But now we are in different sides, parts of Europe.
There's now a border of Germany and London that's done. And a environment that's between us. But
correct.
At least our friendship has always been beyond borders, Seth.
Exactly. Yes.
Many years ago in Bali, we've connected in different places, and it's always
yes
the same, always just picking up where we left off.
Yes, agree.
Okay. Ces, you know, we took this out of the previous episode. We touched on it. There was a life experience that you went through as a child. But I'm going to let you tell the story as you want. And okay. Thank you very much for thinking of Middle Me as your safe space to tell this story.
Yeah. You're part of that safe space. So.
Try talaga tayo, no, Ces? I mean, yeah, that's... thing that binds us, our sexuality explorations, our so many things.
All right. Siguro I want to begin with this thought. No? When as a child, you are meant to be assured or you know, be made to feel that the world is a safe place, and that begins sa unang ang tawag na natin, ba, unang yakap ng ina, you know, that embrace of the mother when you're newly born or as a baby or other caregivers, your parents, and that create, and the home is supposed to create that safe space, or the notion that the world is a safe space and it you'll be taken care of. Sexual abuse that happens at childhood, binabaligtad niya yung notion na yun. Binabaligtad niya, because then the message given to you as a child and receiving abuse, in my case, sexual abuse, but you know, it could also be physical abuse, emotional, verbal abuse. The message is that the world is not safe and people are not to be trusted. People who are supposed to be taking care of you actually end up doing bad things to you, quote unquote, because you know, as a child, you also don't know what's done to you. You just know that it's icky, it doesn't feel right, it's scary, ganon eh, no? Mm-hmm. So that's where I wanted to take off from. Now, I experienced child sexual abuse in the early mornings, and I woke up to abuse. I woke up to abuse by someone in the household. And this was the, in my case, ano siya, anak ng caregiver, anak ng nanny, ng anong matawag doon, parang, yeah, yaya. Yung nag-abuse isang teenage, the teenage son. But anyway, so, ito yung inutusan to take, to prepare me for school, dress, liguan ka, pagbihisan ka. So essentially, yeah, that my mornings, early morning started with that. I'd wake up to this strange, icky, scary feeling and that something was just not right. Diba? So, siyempre, hindi mo alam ko ano yung label nun, diba?
Basta, there was something that did not feel right.
It wasn't right. And it was not pleasurable. Diba? What my response was as a child, ano to, parang ano lang siya, instinctive response was, I would shut my eyes. I would close my eyes. Kahit bihisan ako, liguan ako, or whatever, i-prepare ako for school hanggang sa isa-isa kotse para ihatid sa school. Nakapikit ako. So not label ako sa pamilya na batugan na hindi ako. So, and then pagdating sa school, didilat na ako. And I was top of my class. I was, you know, I was performer. I mean, in terms of academics and even performing, I was that in declamation contest, all that stuff. But at home, I was always antukin batag dun, batugan. Yeah, batugan antukin. Actually, when I first spoke about this back in the Philippines, back home, I was, I think, in my late 20s or mid to late 20s. Narinig ako ng isang playwright and children's book writer at the time, writer ng Batibot, si Rene Villanueva. I don't know if you know about him. It was one of those, yeah, or one of the best great playwrights we had, but he passed away na. Anyway, he listened to one of the episodes where I guest and I spoke about this and like, kinuwento ko nga yung about going to school and on. And then he actually ended up writing a children's book out of it. And it became Ang Batang Ayaw Magising or something like that. Ang Batang Ayaw Magising. And basically that was that. I was, the child would just be closing the eye, closing eyes. Tapos pag nandun na sa eskwela, didilat. So because that became na my safe space. Diba? Wala na dun yung abuser sa eskwela. Eh. Nasa bahay siya. Right?
Cut off mo yung space between the home, which wasn't,
yes,
to school na nakasa
school,
yes, where you could,
yes,
very
correct,
yung pagdilat ng mata and when you felt,
oh, that, oh,
it was safe for you,
so gising na ako, yes, yeah, so but at the same time that was also for message sa kung may mga parents man na nakikinig, no, that's just an example of how children have ways also of reach of they don't have the words for it, but they have ways also of my expressing that they're afraid of something, that something's not right. Maybe that was my way of, that was my cry for help also at that stage, but of course, you know, yun lang yung naging coping ko, I guess. So fast forward ngayon to how I was as an adult, no, in terms of sexuality and all. Di ba nag-usap tayo last time about how, for, you know, my actualization talaga to the fullest and also defining of my sexual boundaries was when I was in my 40s, was turning 40s na. What became clearer talaga is that for sex to actually be pleasurable and not just pleasurable, eh, fulfilling ba tawag dun? Yung may fulfillment. It has to have that element nga, or safety of someone feeling, making you feel safe and secure. That became na my, parang ngayon, yun yung nag-solidify sa akin na yun yung mas importante. That someone who can actually make me feel na I'm secure and safe.
How did that influence your concept of self growing up? Until 13 years and then finally reaching that age.
It was confusing. It was confusing. Because what it also did so that I could cope was it actually numbs my instinctive automatic reaction to any parang difficult feeling was to be out of body.
Oh.
Yung parang para ako naging observer from afar of what's happening to me. So I would always be tuloy parang in feeling level, delayed reaction ako lagi. So even sexually, I had to kind of almost have a conscious effort to feel my, alam mo yun, to go back, to feel the, be in the moment and to feel. And yung alam mo yung abandonment of pleasure wasn't really that easy to achieve.
Yung parang letting
Was not that easy to achieve. Mas madaling, so if to be very parang blunt about it, I would achieve, and I guess common naman sa women, di ba? Yung, well, I don't know if common, pero yung ano natin, di ba? Yung, when you climax, you clitoral yung climax, yung ano natin. And I find that I orgasm more when it's me in control. Ako yung may control of myself, my own body.
Mm-hmm.
In the act itself, I find pleasure and it's I guess comfort. Paano ba? Yun nga, yung feeling of being in someone's embrace is actually really special in a different way, and especially if it is in someone's arms, that you feel you're safe in someone's arms. That's the other, I guess, light at the parang silver lining there, because you know it is another layer of meaning for me. It's a special feeling. Because it's a very opposite of the terror that I felt when I was not safe. So being just that simple feeling of being with someone who can make you feel safe is already to me, you know, a very special one. But may disconnect between that kind of abandoned pleasure kind of thing. That's not easily achieved with just anyone.
I think what we're also talking about here is something that not many people talk about, which is there is a possibility and a right also of survivors to feel pleasure again, even after.
Yeah, but at the same time, we have to acknowledge also, now we are, every person has a different reaction to an experience, diba? So although, for example, there's a whole range of possible ways this could go in terms of what you become or how you experience pleasure or how you view it as you age, right? So meron akong mga kakilalang survivors din of ano na of sexual abuse as children na talagang hirap mag-trust. Period. Or they can't yeah, they can't enjoy sex at all, or they found that they could only feel safe if it's with another woman, or goes to the extreme. Diba? They just, you know, they're just more liberal, or, you know, just, or even reckless. It can go many, many ways. But in what I'm just saying that in my case, in a way, I think I'm grateful na the trauma, if the trauma, quote unquote, quote unquote talaga yung trauma. But anyway, the trauma I went through, I was able naman to have been blessed with having, you know, my first boyfriend and my first husband, as they were very respectful of me as a he was that safe space, that safe embrace that helped me. I think part of the healing was that. And then, you know, later on as I evolved, then I was able to have other relationships that allowed me to discover where that safety can be redefined and reclaimed.
Ang dami kong tanong, Sias.
Sige lang, go.
Saan ka nakakuha ng sense of comfort? Kasi sa mga friends when did you feel
like
about it?
Noon. Nagbago syempre through time there. Pero alam mo ba, yung safe space ko, when I was a kid, the safest space I would have is on top of a guava tree. Umaakyat ako ng puno. Kasi walang, parang ang safe doon. Andun ako sa taas ng puno. Kasi buti, sa probinsya kami, so may mga puno, may guava tree. Andun ako sa bayabas. Taas noon, sa pinakataas hanggang sa parang nagbe-bend na yung mga branches. Ganun. Kasi hindi ako maaabot ng mga mama.
Talagang merong parang what I'm hearing from you, may sense of distance na you have to put between yourself and the abuser. Tapos,
yes, kasi nasa household eh. Yun. Tapos, unfortunately nga, ganun naman ang nangyari nung, because home wasn't really then associated with safety, you know? Well, another, of course, there were other issues too. With my relationship with my mom. By the time I was 16, I think. 16 yata yun, and I moved out. The earliest, parang as early as I can remember, my goal was to move out of the house and be able to, be on my own and have my own space. Ganun. So, kasi nga yung home association mo, dun yung abuse eh.
Was there someone you could talk to about it at home?
No. Pero hindi ko kasi ma-label eh. Hindi ko alam. Nangyari na lang. I was only able to talk about it after siguro ano na pag nung nagkaanak na, early 20s. And then ano pa 'yon, sabay, kasi I was talking to a sibling, my sister, who then I said, you know, I don't remember, I said to her on a bus ride, I don't remember a lot of our childhood back in the province, except for one thing. And then she looks at me and she goes something like, ako rin. And then we looked at each other and then we knew that we were both abused by the same person.
So it was happening to you and your sister.
Yes.
Neither of you knew about it until that.
Yeah. Moment. Yep. That moment. Now we were not adults. Ayun. Ano pa? Safe. Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yes. I mean, I want, because, you know, when I asked you if how you would like to speak about this, you were very, very adamant about this needs to be told from an empowering point of view.
Yeah, kasi hindi ka naman, kasi nung even when I started speaking about this publicly in the Philippines, late 80s, 90s, early 90s, wala masyado namang nagsispeak up na survivors of abuse. Lagi na lang napapakita sa TV yung naka-blur yung mukha tapos umiiyak. Actually, you know what? There's lots of us. It could be just your friend you were talking to yesterday who's actually really successful in her career and looking like this bright, cheery someone who inspires everyone and whatever. But actually, yeah, there's a lot of us around you or who have survived child sexual abuse, you know? It happens a lot, and I've learned that because when I opened up, and daming lumapit, and daming, you know, biglang nag-reach out and saying to me na, me too. Totok pala yung Me Too campaign noon pa. Yun.
So, what I've learned from like talking to children's NGOs is children don't have the vocabulary or even the of how to say that something happened.
Yes,
they just know that
mali. Oh, ganun.
Or parang may mali. And
wala kang label for it. Wala kang language for it eh. What do I say? Tapos yun pa isang lagi kong sinasabi noon. Ano tayo eh, pag nagtuturo sa ba, di ba? Where are your eyes? Where's your nose? Ganun, di ba? Point. Mata, ilong, big, ganun. Pero pagdating dun sa baba, di ba? Hindi mo naman tinuturo, where's your vagina? O.
Sabi natin, bird and flower.
Ayun nga pala, bird and flower. Ayun. Parang pagdating doon, parang hindi na. So, hindi ko alam anong ginawa sa akin, diba? Pero bakit icky?
Oo.
Bakit masakit? Bakit parang hindi tama? Diba? So, ayun. So, part of the, ano nga, of kaya yun yung sexual journey ko had a different dimension because it was like part much of it because nga you know I also started talking about and working on it and labeling what I've been through when I was in my early 20s. So parang naging part na siya rin talaga na parang I was then more self-aware. And di naman lahat ng survivors ganun eh. Diba? For me, I was self-aware. And then I tried to see what are the possible ways na I can, where can I start? And that, one of that was that question nga that you asked. What is safe? How can I feel safe? What makes me feel safe? I had to even discover and find definitions of that for myself. What does it mean? So kaya, I think I mentioned it in the previous conversation, you know, that simple act of waking, you know, after lovemaking, and then it was someone you trusted, a friend, and then hawak ka, yung nakakup sa intimate parts more in your breast or whatever, but spooning you. That's the best feeling in the world, diba? Don't you agree? Yung naka spoon tapos parang you've just been through something that would have been in that was in the past for me as a survivor of abuse in the past was like an icky feeling. It became now a really pleasurable and loving and feeling na parang ganon. So nung tinanong ako ng ano what ng therapist ko one time, what was, you know, what is the nearest you can feel you can define na parang that would be equivalent to safety, that was it. Ganon.
You know, when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about the classes that we had in gender in LSE about how when you feel trauma in the body is what remembers it.
Yes.
It is also in the body that you have to rewrite that trauma, rewrite the experience. Parang you only have to train.
Yes. Nakakatawa nga nung dinidescribe ko sa iyo ngayon, di ba? We're naman on Zoom and you're hearing my voice. But when I was describing to you the feeling, nakaskupak ko sa breast ko. I'm embracing myself.
Kailan the body keeps the score, di ba? May ganun book?
Yeah, meron. Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm over all of that, ah, di ba? That's just parts of you that will always, yeah. That when I'm anxious or it all comes back in some form. You just have, I guess, you learn tools, skills, ways of turning it around. But it'll always be there. It's part of you, I think.
Kanina, you said that you know self-awareness helped you.
Mm-hmm.
Paano magiging self-aware?
Yung isa ko natutuan, syempre, may tulong din ng therapy yung akin. Dami kong binasang libro. Dami kong, ang nakatulong sa akin was because I voiced out na about my experience, it also meant I was able to connect with others who can understand me. No, I know that breaking silence is not easy for everyone. Not everyone, I mean, has the not language, but it is ready or wants to break silence about something that's painful in their lives. But what breaking silence and talking, I think, is the first step in empowerment, diba? At the same time, it also allows people around you an opening to connect. It's either to help you or be there for you, or themselves reach out because they need help or have been through something similar. So I think the thing about, you know, they say, I've been told a lot naman because I spoke about it, I wrote about it. No, you're brave and you've been courageous. But to me, I think it's been more about, that's been a blessing because that also allowed me to connect very, very meaningfully with other women.
Mm-mm-mm.
Ang dami kong naging kaibigan, ang dami ko rin mga na-mentor because they know what I've been through and I've articulated that and it was like a lifeline to them. And at the same time, the more when they open up to me, I also learn and I grow and that's part of my healing too, diba?
Meron talaga kong sense of you're not alone and someone also knows.
Sobra. Mm-mm. Yeah. Tapos talking about it, it gives you back the language that you lost in a way because you are able, the more you talk about it, diba? Kasi magsustruggle ako, kunwari hanggang ngayon, nagsustruggle ako to answer your questions and as trying to help you understand what I might have gone through or what my thoughts were or what my journey was. But it allows me to grope through the words I have and then I end up with an articulation of it. So that's empowering. Diba? So what it is, that, speaking to people, reading, I read a lot. I was hungry for books and internet, whatever, article to help me understand what people are going through, what the studies have been, ganun, ano yung pwedeng ma-anticipate or how others have coped. And then, yon. So, yeah, it helped me. And it, again, it also gives you new words na may label pala sa ganun. May tawag pala doon. May kinatawag palang post-traumatic stress disorder. yun. So I think that too. And then you go na into the other exercises that could help too as you become more aware of yourself, is that how do I react to situation? How does my body react to stimulation? To certain stimulations. So when we go back to, again, your main
topic here of sexuality, then you become more aware. Then when I'm touched this way, how do I feel? Do I feel comfortable with that? Or what are the things that triggers me and I don't want? You know, so kunwari, halikan ako ng morning breath, freak out ako. Diba? Kasi ginigising kang ganun. Dati parang ano yun? Bakit ka nang yak? Ganun. So, pag halikan ako ng morning, masarap masarap to have sex in the more early mornings with someone you love, diba? Pero, huwag niya na lang akong halikan.
Toothbrush muna. Or toothbrush muna.
Sa umaga. Sa umaga. Pero pwedeng morning sex. Pero huwag na lang maghalikan. Ang kulit, diba? Pero you know what I mean. Then you can say no. Because that's the other thing. We were never taught to say no.
And that's
diba? What... Tinuruan ka ba ng bata na humindi? Hindi, diba?
Diba ang concept nga natin pag bata ka, nung wala
kang... Sumunod ka lang.
Wala kang dapat opinion.
Correct!
Wala kang gagawin kundi sumunod sa mas nakakatanda sa'yo.
Mm.
And I'm remembering from our first episode, you really said that one of the things that you wanted to learn when you went on your exploration was how to say no and what my boundaries are.
Yeah. So, yeah, then you can, that, and also yung empowering sa akin, that I can walk away from this, from a situation. So one of the things, for example, nung nag-exploration ako. I was already in our work, diba, in public health before, at that time. So I was like, well, one was condoms, use of condoms was a must, right? Non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So even if you're intimate na with the, you know, foreplay, whatever, tapos biglang ma-realize mo na he doesn't want to use a condom, walk out. Walk out. Mm-hmm. No, you know, that's non-negotiable. You don't, walang pa-cute-cute dyan.
Sa unti-unti bang nabibuild yun sa mga experiences na kanukwento mo? Yung unti-unti, how yung confidence mo, tsaka yung strength mo to say no, and know exactly when you want to say no, and also have courage to walk away from a situation that doesn't make you feel safe.
Hindi yan na no. Hindi yan one, parang, one clean climb upwards na progression, ups and downs, up and, you know, and there will still, you know, there will still be iba-iba nga tayo ng journey eh. and even with me, you know, there's some times na, not in that situation I described, but in other ways of, you know, you feel paralyzed or unable to say no pa rin na mauuna yung terror before courage, you know, before grasping on the new skills you have learned, boom, babalik yung automatic response. So, lifetime yan ng automatic response. See, what really helped me was going through cognitive behavior therapy, where then I had to unpack that. Ano yung mga situation na automatic response ko is to, ganun nga, together, take off from my body. So I'm really numb.
We have to be kind to ourselves pa rin talaga. As there are small triumphs in the journey.
Yes.
Meron din minsan magre-regression. So we always have to be kind to ourselves.
So balik tayo sa cliche-ish man, yung unang step, diba, is to really forgive yourself. It was not your fault. Una, it wasn't your fault. Kasi yun yung isang main thing. Nung bata ka, parang ikaw yung mali. Ikaw yung, ano yun? Yung parang ako yung madumi. Ako yung madumi. Ako yung mali. Ako yung ganon. So that's I guess what you have to just keep changing that message internally, and then later on, when you feel you're improving, tapos meron ka na naman ano coping habit na babalik, na you're not in the moment or you weren't able to say no immediately or you got trapped into a situation you don't want, then just forgive yourself because you know it's not an easy journey.
When did you?
Pero yun nga, wait. So nga sabihin ko, ang nangyayari do, when I say as a survivor na I can appreciate, you know, sexual experiences or sexual pleasure, then it has double meaning and double value, I think, for me, because it could have, I could just be, say it's a horrible thing, it's ugly, it's yucky, diba? Pero I'm able to say na, you know, that's part of what you celebrate as a human being.
Ang ganda.
You.
Love you too. May ganun tayo.
May naman tayo. Lagi naman tayo may ganun.
May iyak na naman tayo. Sa ganda.
Natin. Pag nag-uusap tayo, tawa na tayo.
Basta iiyak.
For those of you listening, and we have trusted one another with so many of these experiences. Kaya, kami siguro din ang safe space ng isa't isa.
Correct.
Oo, tapos first time. Says, kasi first time namin i-widen yung circle of safe space natin dalawa to include other listeners. And I think, what made you decide to... Well, I know you've talked about this many times publicly, but what made you decide to again talk about it now?
I just think it's time. Plus, I guess I'm in a, I think it just comes a time, I think, when you know it's time. Ganon eh. And I really I've always naman in my heart of hearts kept this this advocacy close to my heart, you know. But in the recent year, the past decade or so, I've kind of skirted around this in a way that I've then broadened into helping women who are disadvantaged, diba, in our work in public health, even sex workers, because of the double discrimination and issues around HIV and AIDS, all of that, diba? Access to health, and violence against women, dun ko chinanel eh. After speaking out in the Philippines and I went to international work, I worked a lot with women abroad, and it was on the broader issues of rights, women's rights, and women's welfare, empowering them, and breaking silences in whatever form. But I guess at this phase then in my life, you know, I go back again into drawing from my own personal well of insights and experiences, and I'd like to share that then, if it resonates with other women, and it might help. Diba?
Hearing three things from you. First was, you know, what helped with the healing, which is still an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about it, and it helped you find the words to, even maybe in your head, even if you, or just to talk about it with others, to think about what happened and to understand it more, and then also to reach out to others who went through the same thing. There was that sense,
yes,
and solidarity among people, among survivors.
Yeah.
And then secondly came the uplifting and empowering other women. So a lot of the advocacy work that you do is helping other women who get through a similar traumatic experience. And I think the third one was forgive yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Lifelong.
Forgive yourself. May pang-apat pa.
Ano yung pang-apat?
Kasi pinaramdam nilang pangit kayo. Ang pang-apat dapat, maganda ako. I am beautiful. I am worth. I'm a sacred. My body is sacred and special, and I deserve to be loved.
When did you feel that you owned your body again?
Naku!
Tama ba yung
parang hindi pa nga yan, oo, parang hindi pa nga yan ako kumpleto hanggang ngayon. Yan yata yung forever journey. Yung last kong sinabi yung mga affirmation, message ko yun to self.
But,
message to self yun.
Okay. Now, I know you said that you wanted to tell this story because, I mean, yourself. And I hope I've given you the lead to do that and the safe space.
Thank you.
If you want other survivors to feel empowered. But for those of us listening, what can we do?
To help others or to find help?
No, to help others. Parang,
how?
Yung, pag merong nagkwento sa atin na,
oo.
Naman ikakwento yan kaagad eh. Minsan may mga...
Okay. Oo, okay. Diyos ko, makinig. Ano talaga, listen. And believe. Kasi yun yung isa eh. Parang you have to listen. You have to honor that is someone else's truth. That someone's, you know, that is the truth, the reality of someone who, and it's a painful thing, and when it's given to you and shared to you, then you know it deserves the respect and the honor of your listening to it and giving it that attention, diba? Pangalawa, I think do not minimize it. Don't minimize the experience. Meron kasi tayong alam mo yung ano lang naman, and parang meron kasi mga harmful things that were said to me when I was starting to talk about it by friends who were ano ba yan, well-meaning naman, diba? May mga terms like, pero buti na lang okay ka, parang buti nga ikaw eh okay ka, yung ganun, kahit dinaanan mo yon. Ano, okay, di ba, yung compared to whoever, whatever, di ba? Don't do that. Or, wala yun, ano lang naman yan. Or, you know, hindi ka naman na na-rape ng 10 taon or something. Yung mga ganyan. Walang ganon. Walang ganyan. And, you know, the other thing na I realized then, when you think about it, as a child, whether I read it somewhere, whether it's a finger that went into you, that it was inserted in your vagina or a penis, or you know, it's the you were violated.
Yes.
You were abused, you were violated, you were traumatized.
Yes.
So walang ganon, walang, wag mo rin i-minimize, because it is how did it affect you is profound. Kahit uncle mo, kahit yung ginawa lang ng uncle mo, for example, is pinakandong ka habang ino-offer ka ng candy, pero nararamdaman mong tinitigasan siya habang kinakandong ka. Ano yun?
Alam mo,
diba?
Eh, na may sound.
Yeah. So, sorry to be graphic, and again, sorry if I'm triggering anything, but I'm just trying to be, you know, to drive the point na let's not do that to each other. To minimize. And then the last thing, I guess, is yung toxic positivity nga tinatawag natin. You know, habang nagkukwento yung isa, habang pinagdaansin mo, hindi, pero look at the bright side. Yung ganun, whatever.
So dapat, narinig ko rin sa'yo kanina, it was so valuable for you to hear na it's not your fault.
Yes. Mm-mm.
So isa yung... Mm-mm. Ayon sa mga dapat una naming sabihin kung meron kaming isang
friend, yes,
or loved one.
Yes. It's not your fault. It wasn't your fault. Kasi a lot, that's common. Na feeling, na parang kasalanan ko yun. Eh, ako nga noon, Diyos ko. Parang feeling ko hinawala ko. Kasi I was in Catholic school pa pati. Parang I was not... Parang hindi ako dapat nag-holy communion. Pag bibigyan ako ng communion, parang patawarin. Ganun. Madumi ako eh. Bakit ako tatanggap ng hostia?
Kaya talagang...
You know?
Oo.
So, anyway. There we are. Yung nga sabi ko, first step it. Breaking silence, you don't underestimate the power of that, on what that can do for a woman who's been through, or a child, or whoever, kahit LGBT, kahit sino tao, been through something and is able to label that, especially an experience that has been, that is taboo, or, you know, ang hirap ipag-usapan or i-express. And then you're then able to declare and say that, but accompanied with ano na, and I am not to blame for it.
Nakaproseso yata siya.
Sobra. Walang katapusan. Walang katapusang proseso.
It's just like,
yeah,
like how we define ourselves. And
correct.
Different life experiences do that. So talagang,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Lastly, Sas, what would you want listeners who are survivors of sexual abuse? What would you want them to know?
Take back the pleasure, take back the love for yourself and your body, and find that someone who will really, really help you celebrate you for the beautiful person that you are.
Thank you, Sas.
Thank you. More power to women all over the world.
That was part two of my interview with my friend Sas Miliado, advocate and survivor. I'd like to thank Sas for thinking of Middle Me as her safe space. Sas gave so much of herself. She took us along with her on her journey of reclaiming pleasure and self-worth after surviving sexual abuse and trauma. From Sas, I learned that healing is a lifelong process that starts with believing that it's not your fault and forgiving yourself. If you or someone you love is experiencing or a survivor of sexual abuse, you don't have to go through this alone. There are safe spaces where you can go to for help. In the Philippines, you can seek free counseling from the Lunas Collective on Facebook. The Stairway Foundation also has free helpful resources on preventing child sexual abuse on their website at stairwayfoundation.org. Elsewhere in the world, the National Sexual Violence Resource Center has compiled a list of online resources for survivors. You can access their website on www.nsvrc.org. We've included links to these resources in our show notes, so you can access them there. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Middle Me, the podcast about Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. I'm Anna P. Santos. Till next time.